This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, we've been bringing you the series Life on the Inside. When you're sent to prison, many of the things that make life meaningful, work, family, friends, those things are gone. During Stateside's visit to Lakeland Correctional Facility in Coldwater, we wanted to know how inmates there create meaning for themselves. To do that, we talked with two of the men there, Matt Blumke and Felton Mackey-Howell, during our live show. Here's that conversation. Let's just start, you guys, by just tell us who you are.
My name's Matt Blumke. I'll be 40 years old next month. I'm from Macomb, Michigan. I was a career photographer, mainly weddings and event photography, and I've been in prison now for 6 years.
Felton?
And my name is Felton Mackey-Howell. I've been incarcerated since I was 19, just said hi to 30. I'm a writer, artist, poet, among other things.
You know, people, as you know, have this different kind of perception about what prison is. You see a lot of television shows and movies depicting life in a prison. How would you describe living here at Lakeland Correctional Center for someone who's never been here?
I mean, when I first got here, the major difference that I noticed was that it was like more of a, I would say, like school setting, and the atmosphere is much more laid back than most facilities. You know, that was the first thing that I noticed. And it's easier to, like, focus on, like, if you're someone that's locked up and, you know, you're focused on your craft or anything, it's real easy to tune in and focus on whatever you have going on. So for me personally, that was something that that I noticed that affected me, you know, in a positive way. So,
Matt?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think there's kind of a cross here between a retirement community and a college campus. There's a lot of green grass and flowers here during the summer, and I think that that's something that kind of stands out a little bit from other prisons that I've been to. This is a much more pretty place to look at, but we're still in prison.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about living here, though? How is living here, you touched on it, Felton, Matt, how is living here different from other prisons? Because you've both been in other prisons in the Michigan system, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think this place differs. For me, I live in what they call a pole barn setting. There's 160 guys in one building. There's 8-man cubes. We're right on top of each other like sardines in a can. I've got about 6 square foot that I can call my own, and it's kind of hard to live. It's hard to move around. But Felton's in a little bit different position than I am in the facility, so I'll let him explain that.
I mean, like, let's just say if you map out a schedule on a daily basis, like, they have what's called open movement, so you're able to, like, bounce around, go to, you know, different parts of the facility. You may want to work out, like, early in the morning. You may want to go to another rec building and do homework or some type of study or reading. And then, you know, after that, you can maybe go to the music room or something. But the open movement, it like, really allows you to have, like, a productive schedule. So for the most part, scheduling, and then, like, as far as the difference between other facilities, this facility has, like, a lot of educational programming, you know, that's very beneficial for myself. My guy over here, like, it's definitely beneficial, and that's one of the major and most important aspects about this facility that's different from the others.
He's glossing over the pole barn difference. So where do you live?
I'm over in C building, C3.
What's it like?
It's super laid back because it's a lot of old guys there. Much different from the pole barns. Like, the pole barns is, you know, wild and, you know, I mean, like...
It's more like a dormitory, right? There's just...
Yeah, it's more like a dorm setting. So it's a lot of young guys, you know, young personalities still growing, you know. But for the most part, overall, it's pretty much laid back, chill spot, yeah.
Felton talked about his routine through the day. What's your day like?
You know, I set small goals throughout the day. I have a hard time looking at years to do because I feel like it's much easier to just make it to lunch and then just make it through the afternoon and then just make it to dinner than it is to make it through a whole day or a week or a month or a year. So my routine in the morning is just get up, work out, I check up with the news, and it's time for chow. The weird thing about chow is that as much as we all sit here and complain about how much we hate the chow and the portions, we all go to that chow hall religiously. It's kind of ironic, but it's the truth.
I want to talk about violence in the prison a little bit. I read about some local reports about some stabbings here, drug overdoses that ended up in deaths here at Lakeland. How safe do you feel? And it sounds like you guys have slightly different experiences. So let's start with you, Felton, and then Matt, just follow up.
I mean, as far as me feeling safe, I mean, I look at it as, you know, it's as safe as you want it to be, you know, based on how you conduct yourself or how you interact, you know, with everyone else, you know, for the most part, you know. But, yeah, for me personally, you know, I feel as safe as I allow it to be, you know. So.
Welcome to the joint.
You guys got any garden tools on you? I don't, yeah, no, okay. Go ahead.
I don't fear for my safety anymore. I did when I first came to prison. I was a bit smaller of a man and younger. I've learned ways to navigate around the pitfalls and the dangers that come inherent in any prison, coast to coast in this country. They exist here just as much as anywhere else. They're just not as prevalent here because I think this is, we're at a facility here that doesn't cater to the troublemakers.
What do you mean by that?
They don't last long here. We've got other places to put them.
Hmm. Who do you keep in touch with on the outside and why?
I keep in touch with my children. I've got two boys. My youngest is 16 and my oldest is 21. I talk with them on a weekly basis. They come to visit on a regular basis. Both my parents, my siblings. I've got a large group of friends that I stay in touch with and we communicate on a regular basis. And I really appreciate having those friends because it's not the friends who you expect to hear from. It's your family who you expect to hear from, but sometimes we realize that that's not how it happens. So I'm really blessed in that respect, and I thank God for that every day. Visiting here is a little bit of a challenge. I've got some elderly parents who are dealing with some health issues, and that's an issue for them because it's just too far of a drive. It's only 2.5 hours from here to home, but when they've got health issues, they're chained to an oxygen tank, so it makes it difficult.
Felton?
Pretty much the same thing for me. Like, I have a tight family circle, loved ones. For the main part, you know, my teenage love, you know, we've been together since high school. You know, a lot of my cousins, I don't have that much immediate family. But a lot of my cousins, mostly younger, who I mentor on a regular, yeah, I talk to those guys, like, every other day, if not every day, whether it's through messaging, over the phone. Sometimes they get a chance to come up. We have excellent relationship.
Well, how hard is it to keep up a relationship?
I mean, it's a task. It's definitely a task, and it costs a lot of money. You know, over the years, you know, it definitely adds up. But it's worth it because it's a benefit. Even though I'm in here, a lot of my little cousins, you know, when they see me out there. You know, they were inspired by me. They looked up to me. So my word still stands to them. So if I tell them, you know, try to find your gift, try to see what you're good at or take up this trade, you know, go to college, you know, they take that word as value, as weight, you know, and it's been effective, you know. And also, you know, they helped me a lot through hard times, you know, and it gives me some type of purpose. Being in here, you know, I still have some type of purpose in that aspect, so.
I want to go back to Matt. I want to ask you about your kids. I mean, that's tough, right?
It's heartbreaking. Yeah, my kids have been definitely affected by this in the most negative ways you can imagine. Both my children deal with depression and anxiety. They're at a higher risk for drug abuse and suicide just as a direct result of losing their father. Ultimately, it is my fault because I'm the one who got myself here, but I don't think that a lot of people, including the courts, take into consideration the additional damages that are done by incarcerating somebody, the collateral damages.
You're listening to Stateside with a special program from the Lakeland Correctional Center. We're talking with Felton Mackey-Howell and Matt Bumpke, two of the men who live here. Okay, let's address the elephant in the room, at least as far as the listeners are concerned. You're both here because you were convicted of multiple felonies, some of them were violent. Neither of you is eligible for parole until the 2030s. When you think about why you were here, what comes to mind?
For myself, I deal with some issues with anger, and I have for a long time. And I've been working on those since I've been locked up. And it's not easy making changes in my life, but it's something that I do every day, actively.
How?
Well, I've developed empathy. It's something that I had to learn. I didn't even know about this word until I came into prison. And I've found that putting myself in my victim's shoes and imagining what it was like to go through the crime from their perspective has changed my perspective and has really enabled me to develop a sense of self-control so that I don't hurt somebody again.
Felton?
For me, similar, but the first thing I thought about was the pain that I caused. You know, and it took me some time. Like, when I first became incarcerated, like, I wasn't thinking about nobody else but myself. I was mad at the world, you know what I mean? I was blaming everybody else. And so it took me a little time to really, like, reflect and start to look at, you know, my life. And the first thing that I started to realize was the pain, how much pain that I caused so many people, you know, and the trickle-down effect. You know, and I didn't really understand that actual pain of my victims losing until, like, I actually lost a family member, you know what I mean? So, in particular, once my mother passed for him, so when that happened, I was able to understand, like, what real pain was of losing someone, even though it wasn't the same. Theirs were taken. I understood that pain, and so I was able to look back and, like he said, have empathy, you know, able to walk in their shoes and look through their lens. And that's where my transition began, you know.
What have you guys learned about yourselves while you've been here in prison? I mean, you've got time for reflection. You've got time to think about life choices. What has it taught you?
Main thing that I've learned was that I have a greater purpose in life. And even though time is still ticking, I may have to do a little bit more time. Who knows, may get the commutation or not. But I know that I have a greater purpose. And until that time comes where I can fulfill that purpose, I'm taking this time to really get to know myself, all the layers of myself, and really bettering myself, you know, becoming a better me, you know, evolving.
Matt, what have you learned about yourself?
I've learned that I hindered myself in my previous life. I'm capable of much more than I give myself credit for, and I'm learning that now, and I've learned that I can learn more than I ever thought was possible. I have been involved with this Western Michigan University mentor class for the past year, and the things that I've learned in this class have really changed my paradigm and shifted my perspective and enabled me to look at problems from a different angle. And I think that that is something that I didn't know I could do. I've always heard about putting the shoe on the other foot or putting your foot in the other shoe, but I don't know if I ever really did that until recently.
You guys know this. The audience knows this. There's a perception among a lot of the people that if you're in prison, you probably deserve to be there. And that attitude fosters a kind of, well, why should I care what happens to them behind bars? It's just not that important to my life. Why should people care about what happens here?
This is a great question. I think the first and most important answer is because most of us in prison are going to be released back into the community.
True, true.
And you have to now ask yourselves a question. What do you want us to be like when we get out there? Do you want us to be angry and bitter and upset at the way that we were treated? Or do you want us to be educated and skillful and ready to become tax-paying, contributing members of society?
I don't think I could have said it any better. But just to add on, you know, when you think about people out in society and they're looking in, so they're on the other side, we're in here, I think a level of empathy can be given on the outside. And the reason why I say is because someone, whether it's a family member or a friend, someone, you know, knows someone that's locked up. And just imagine if it's one of your loved ones or someone you know or yourself, you know, from one decision that you made that could have changed your life. You know, just imagine that being you or someone you love, and not only imagine, but have that empathy and say, what will the second chance do? Will that second chance give this person the opportunity to be, to redeem himself, to have redemption, to right his wrong, so to say. I think everybody deserves a second chance. And if given that, I'm pretty sure this gentleman here, I myself, if given that, definitely make the best of it, you know, and give that opportunity. You know, that second opportunity can mean something that can propel into greatness, you know, so that's what I would say.
Can I add to that as well? I'm the only member of my family that's ever been incarcerated, and I'm the only member of my friends group that I've ever known to be in any kind of trouble whatsoever. And all of my friends, every time I talk to them, say, you know, I could so easily be in your position if I just made one mistake and had a little bit of bad luck. And I think that's another reason that public should care about what it's like in here for us, because it could happen to anybody.
I want to ask you one more question, and I'm not exactly sure how to phrase it, but when you think about the future, what future are you looking at?
I worry about my future. If I end up doing all the time that I'm sentenced to right now, I'll be in my mid-50s if I'm released on my earliest release date. I worry that I'll be obsolete, unskilled, aging, have nowhere to live. So these are things I worry about. I don't want to work until I die. And I hadn't planned for this my entire life. And I don't think anybody plans to go to prison. I have plans for the future. I know that I've got some work or maybe a career choice still available, but I don't know what's going to happen in between now and then with our country, with our state, or with my family and friends. This is my second time in prison. So I've been released before and started from the bottom. And I made something of myself, and I was proud of that. I stayed out of trouble for almost 9 years without a traffic ticket. I owned 2 successful businesses and had a family and a home and vehicles. I just don't know if I can do that again.
What's future mean to you?
I'm a little bit more optimistic, you know. Thing is, every day when I wake up in the morning, I start my day off and say, I'm going to make some type of progress. And I do that for a reason. The reason is because when I see myself on the outside, you know, I see a man in a suit and tie. You know, I see a boardroom. I see book signings, my book being released, you know. I see those type of things. I see me going out and dealing in real estate. And that's why I study consistently, because when that moment arrives, when I am released, I want to be able to execute.
I thank you guys for being candid about this. I really appreciate your time. Matt Bumpke and Felton Mackey Howell are two of the many men who are housed here at the Lakeland Correctional Center in Coldwater. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Lester.